Welcome to the first episode of Inspiring Buildings with Anjana. Today I'm going to invite a daring woman who dared to break the glass ceiling, braved against all odds, and skied over 915 kilometers in 38 days to reach the South Pole. She is the first Indian woman to ski from the coast of Antarctica to the South Pole as a part of the Commonwealth Women's Antarctic Expedition in 2009. She's none other than Reena Kaushal Dharamshakti. Welcome, Reena.
Thank you, Anjana. Nice to be here.
Thank you so much. You braved against the blizzards, cold, and the temperature then was below minus 40 degrees centigrade. You know, tell us about your journey and how was the feeling at that time?
So, actually, before I tell you about my journey, I would like to tell you a little bit about Antarctica.
Sure, please.
Because lots of people don't have much of a clue about it.
Yes, please.
Antarctica is the coldest and driest place, and it has got the fastest winds. So the winter temperature can be anywhere around minus 75 and the summer temperature up to minus 35, around that much.
Okay.
And there's no snowfall, no precipitation, no rainfall. I think, and the winds are so, they blow so hard that, you know, you feel like you will be blown away only. And that's what had happened to us. We almost had a terrible experience with the winds. I'll tell you that later on.
Okay.
So, and I'd read about, so you want me to tell me the whole thing? I'd read about this Antarctica expedition in the newspaper. At that time, the Felicity Aston was a scientist in Antarctica. She had got this idea about, you know, taking women from all over the world, Commonwealth countries, and going for this expedition, you know, like proving to the world that the women can, when they come to it, then they can do just about anything. So she had put this newspaper article, you know, that she's taking this expedition.
So and
through, like in various newspapers.
Yeah, through the newspaper you got to know about this. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that there's this expedition going and she's going to be selecting her team. And so I was like, who's going to be that lucky girl? Up till that moment, I never had this thought about, you know, like I have to go to Antarctica. It was not never an ambition or anything, no. It was just that time I heard and I read. And then I was like, that desire came in my heart that, oh, I wish I will be selected for this expedition. Though I didn't know that I was... you know, like if I fit the bill. And then I'd gone to IMF, the Indian Mountaineering Foundation, and their secretary told me that I can apply also. I'm eligible. So that time I had applied. And so then after that, there's no turning back.
Okay. I'll come to the other part of the, you know, question later on. I just wanted to understand from you, like there must have been a lot of hardships, you know, during the journey. So did you ever feel at the time, you know, why am I here? You know, why did I take this decision? I want to go back. Did you ever feel that?
No. I never felt that I wanted to go back.
Well, you never felt.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I grew up reading lots of books about...
So you enjoyed.
Yeah. So there was always this desire that...
So that helped you a lot. Yeah.
Yes. So then I wanted to, like, you know, like when these kind of challenges come, then you become even more determined to carry on. You know, that's what makes it more interesting.
More resilient, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Had you ever skied earlier?
Before this expedition, I had done a little bit of skiing in Manali. I had learned some skiing.
So you had the basic knowledge.
But the thing was that, I had the basic knowledge, but the beauty of this expedition was that there was no preliminary need, you know, that the people who get selected, they should be skiers or something like that. Because there is a difference now. There's a difference. There's two kinds of skiing. There's one is called cross-country skiing and one is called downhill skiing. Technical stuff you see, you know, like people zooming down the mountainside. That's a downhill skiing. But what we were doing was cross-country skiing, Nordic skiing. And there it is not so glamorous, you know, like it looks. It is, you just are, basically, you got a sled tied to you at the back. You're pulling your load. and just pretty much because with the help of the slides, you know, the ski, you're sliding along, and that's the way it is. So it needs a lot of strength and stamina.
Right, right.
Keep on going.
So you just have to keep on going. That's loading. All.
Yeah. And pulling the load.
So while skiing, you know, how much load did you have to carry?
We're carrying about around 55 to 60 kilograms. Not we were carrying, it was like we were pulling. It was on the sled. The sled was tied by a rope to our harness, and the harness was around the waist. So we were actually, And so then there's an interesting thing.
You were pulling.
Interesting thing about the Antarctica is there's a thing called sastrugi. Sastrugi is waves in the snow. Like you get waves in the water, no? The same, similarly, we have waves in the snow because of the action of the wind. So your journey is like you're not just pulling smoothly, like, you know, plain smooth road or, you know, land. It's got sastrugi in it. So you're up and down, sometimes hold, sometimes this, you know, garanglu, like, you know, not so smooth. So then that makes it very challenging. And sometimes what happens in those, when there's wind blowing so hard and so cold, and then the ski, the sled used to overturn. That was very painful because of the sastrugi. And then, you know, like trying to help the person in front of you or in back of you, you know, like put the sled again.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So when you were, you know, when you were skiing on those waves, on those icy waves and all, you know, at that time, obviously, it must have been very, very hard for you all, right? So what kept you going, you know? Like, at that time, did you feel that, will I survive if this continues? Because that it was not a matter of a day or a, you know, or a week. It was a matter of 30 to 35 days.
Yeah, that that doubt did come. See, when we landed in Antarctica, then first day it was seemed to be like, you know, sunny. Second day at night. Now, when I'm saying night, there's no such thing as night and day there. No, there's 6 months of day, continuous day, and 6 months of continuous night. So the sun is like around the horizon. And when we had gone, it was a summertime. So that was that sun never used to set. Summertime obviously means the minus 35 something and the wind is blowing and all. So when the second day, it the wind started picking up, and we had a big storm. And as a result, our tents blew away. One tent blew away, the next one in Antarctica. And we were luckily at a base camp only at that time, you know. We had not, the expedition had not started at that time.
I see.
So then somehow when we got to shelter in there only in the transporters camps, they had some very solid tents there which did not blow away. And then we tried to salvage all, you know, pick up all the odds and ends that we could and repair our tents, because in Antarctica, obviously, there are no shops where you can go and buy, you know, new stuff, new equipment.
Oh.
Then we repaired our tents and all. And then, then after that, you know, then we went again for an acclimatization run. You know, acclimatization means just getting used to how the expedition will be like before the expedition. So we had gone for an acclimatization run and then that only the second day itself. Again, we I remember Kim from Jamaica, she got frostbite. Like, she had some, you know, frostbite signs, early signs. So, you know, what is frostbite? Frostbite is due to extreme cold when the blood circulation gets compromised, you know. So, it doesn't reach your cheeks and extremities,
which
are away from the heart. So, then... Yeah, and so she had to be evacuated immediately, because if you just keep it, then, you know, frostbite can become gangrene and other things like that. So then she had to be evacuated, which was a big blow for us. Like, eight of us were there, and now it was only seven of us. And so your question was, what was the question?
Okay.
You said that, what are the challenges?
No.
You had asked me about...
Yeah, what are the challenges? Like, did you ever feel like going back?
Yeah, so then, in spite of all these things, no? Like, we have this storm coming up, we have, like, a blizzard, and then we have this... Remember, getting frostbite. Still never that, none of us, like the seven of us, none of us had that doubt that we want to go back ever. You know, we were even more determined that, okay, fine, so this is like a warning. Careful, more careful we have to be. This is a warning for us, you know. So that was kept us going from there.
Right.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So what was that particular thing, you know, that kept you going during these hard times? Is it the teamwork, or is it the teamwork in the sense that, is it the support from each other that motivated you all to go forward, or what was it?
Yeah, like we were there, so before even leaving, there were a lot of people who had high hopes from me, high expectations that I will be doing this. And not only me, but all the whole team, their respective countries. So that also, and then being in this place, I mean, it was very beautiful.
Okay, so that also attracted you.
Although it was like, you know, got all these challenging things, you know, but like being there, a huge, vast sky, like I've never seen the horizon, which is just there. It looks like if you walk, then you will be able to touch this horizon. Mm-hmm. And
so the beauty.
And the snow.
Beauty as well as the hardship. Yeah, it attracts both of them, both these factors.
Hardship, and then also the teamwork. Yes, so many factors were there. The teamwork was, of course, there.
Correct.
Teamwork was always there. Like some people, so if some member has a hard time, they just help each other.
So how tough was the competition and the selection process, you know, because you were selected amongst 300 to 400 participants, and you were one of the chosen one. And out of that, out of all these, only 8 of them were selected. Right. So how tough was the competition?
The competition was...
And of course, the selection process.
Yeah. So like, you know, we had all applied. There was no qualifications given, that only these can apply. Anybody who's interested could apply, no? So then after that, 10 members from each country were shortlisted. So 10 from India, 10 from Jamaica, 10 from various places, Brunei. And so out of the 10, then we were called to Delhi for interview. And after that, 2 were selected for final competition that was held in Norway. In Norway, they had a 3-4 days camp for the selection process, where lots of various, they were observed, no, the candidates. And then the final selection was done. So and in Norway also, we were given further training. It was like sub-zero temperatures, minus Hardanger Vida plateau. That's where our training was. And really tough conditions, which were more like what it would be in Antarctica. And then looking at a performance there, the final selection.
In Antarctica.
In Antarctica. Yeah.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So how many months of selection and the preparation was?
You can say a little less than a year. A little less than a year. Well, actually, about a year, you can say, you know, because this happened, this interview happened sometime in end of August. Then we went to Norway in February. Then we had further training and further, you know, that was in New Zealand. That was in September. And after that, November, we went to London. The whole team gathered in London for the final expedition. So November, December, 29th December 2009, we were on South Pole. So that was about a little over a year.
That was a long journey, isn't it? Almost a year.
And then, of course, we were preparing a lot. Like, even the training was taking place, like, you know, and we took place in Norway and in New Zealand. But at home, back home, there was nobody, you know. So we were training hard our own, on our own.
Okay.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
And how did you take breaks in between? You know, you had to remove your mask while eating, or even, you know, while going, while taking rest, or even going to the loo. So what type of, you know, I mean, what were the measures that you had to take? Yeah.
So we used to start up from the place, the campsite. Every day we had a new campsite, of course. So we used to start from there around 9 o'clock. And then it was a strict discipline, okay? Like for 1.5 hours, we will ski. Okay. 1.5 hours. After 1.5 hours, the person, you used to walk in one straight line. Mm. The person in the front used to open the route. You know, okay. All the burden was on that person only to look at the compass.
Open so
the
you route. Had the team leader kind of person.
Yeah, and so yeah, for 1.5 hours, then you go back and then somebody else will replace you. Because it can be pretty strenuous.
Right.
So then after 1.5 hours, we were supposed to have exactly 7 minutes break to eat food. You know, go to the washroom, I mean, pee or whatever, any breaks you want to take, you want to eat, you want to drink. That's in 7 minutes. You had to finish everything. Because if we used to go beyond 7 minutes, like our body, we were tired, you know, pulling that.
Oh, I see.
And that's so. But although we were tired and then we wanted more rest, if we stretched that break to about 12 minutes or 15 minutes, then our body used to become cold. See, we are talking about minus 35. And
right.
Winds and all.
Right.
Around that, it could be lesser, it could be more, you know, like roughly we didn't carry anything to measure, but it was very cold. So then if we took a long break, then our bodies used to start freezing, our hands, our toes.
So within 7 minutes, you had to, while
so
your body...
pushing, like do everything in 7 minutes, and then the next person used to come in the front and lead.
Okay.
And then the next, and then so like this till 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening we used to carry on, and then set up a tent, smelt water, cook food, and sleep, get a good rest, and then start again next day.
Okay. So so that means that within 7 minutes you have to do everything while your body is warm, isn't it?
Yeah, and you want a, you want a more of a rest also, but you don't want to. That is a funny situation. You know, because you're feeling tired, but if you rest more, then your body becomes very cold. Then that's also different.
And how did you keep yourself warm during the night time, you know?
So we were eating like pretty much 5,000 calories, 5,500, something like that.
Calories
per day. Huh. And you're still, you know, like not gaining weight. I wish that could happen in real life.
That's just a wish, isn't it?
You're burning calories. Yeah, at that time. So then our food was very, very rich, you know.
Like rich food in the sense, what kind of food, you know? All carbs, proteins.
Like, when we were buying, also, we used to look at, we were looking at the calories in the packets. The maximum calories we used to buy.
Can you do that again?
So if you want to buy chocolate, we look at the calories at the bag. The one which had maximum calories, we used to buy that. You know, like buttery and the porridge and chocolates and, you know, in the evening we used to have something dehydrated. Well, it was pulao, like a pulao, you know, biryani types. And dehydrated, so you put water in it and then it, it sits for 5 minutes and then it is ready to eat. Non-vegetarian. So I was a vegetarian always, but for this expedition, I decided to be a non-vegetarian.
Only for the expedition.
For the duration of the expedition. Only for that. The moment we reached South Pole, I became a vegetarian.
Okay.
Just for the sake of the team, I thought I'll compromise.
Okay.
So I did that.
All right.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Was there something that you missed during the mission? Like, did you miss your family? You know, anything of that sort?
Oh, well, no. Well, there's always, you know, like, you know, the regular life.
Because you were completely focused, isn't it?
Yeah, that time, you know, like the regular life when you have proper toilets and you're inside the house nicely, you're cozy and warm. And there it was always cold.
Right.
So then you had also asked me the question, how we remained warm inside the tent.
Correct. Yes.
Inside the tent, you know, it was like... like a greenhouse effect, actually, because there's sun outside. So our body heat and the sun heat used to trap inside the tent. So it was relatively warm. Like the moment we went out of the tent, we, it used to be freezing cold. But the moment we came in, then it was a pretty nice temperature, and then we used to light our stoves.
If
it became like to dry up, then we used to light our stoves just to increase the temperature a little bit. And we had our sleeping bags were meant for minus 45. They were very, very warm.
Okay.
So remaining.
So you were taken care of by your sleeping bags.
Yeah, sleeping bags, and you know, sometimes stove, sometimes the sun heat, you know, so all these factors. And inside the tent, we weren't cold. It was outside the tent where we used to become cold. So outside the tent, like I said, we were all the time like on the move.
Okay.
Or if we are not moving, then it was 7 minute spring.
Right.
Yeah.
So by Reena, you know, if you were given a choice to live in Antarctica now for a week, would you go for it?
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to go. Yeah, that's a beautiful place. One of the most beautiful places I've been to in my life. And I've been to like lots of places around the world, and in India. So it's like
one of the most beautiful
very challenging. It's starkly beautiful. There's something very captivating about that place, you know, that the wind and everything, it's like, it draws you towards. Well, a person like me likes that kind of, you know, lonely places and all.
Okay.
So I enjoy.
You were also a part of the 15 women cycling expedition, Go Green Girls. And you cycled from Kolkata to Kanyakumari, covering all 3,000 kilometers in 35 days. Where do you get the motivation and energy from?
Well, it's all in the family, you know. My husband is also a mountaineer. He's climbed Everest several times, like 7 times. He's the only Indian to have climbed.
There
were 7 times, and he's climbed not only just Everest, he's climbed Kanchenjunga, and more than 55 expeditions he's done all over the Himalayas and out other places.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So would you, I mean, instead of me introducing your husband to this show, would you introduce him to this show?
Yeah, that'd be really good. He can... He would be excited to talk to you.
Sure. Yeah.
He has been an inspiration.
So, did you want to? Sorry.
He has been an inspiration for me, you know, like it's in the family. So, he keeps on going here and there. So, even I keep on going. And the important thing is, you know, like I married somebody who's from the same profession.
Same profession.
So, then the person will understand.
Right.
So, you're not talking to a person for 2 weeks, you're out of touch. Or while we were in this expedition, we never talked. We were never talked to our family. So that was only when we were about to reach South Pole on the Christmas Eve. Our leader said, okay, we can talk. Only 5 minutes.
Oh, that was the only time that you had.
So that's the time when we were about to reach. 2 days before. Yeah, and it was Christmas Eve, so it was like a gift. So then we had talked on the phone, you know. So this is something like a person can understand, you know, why a person gets cut off and you know, what is it that drives you, you know, going to these high mountains or different remote places.
Partner,
So it's very important to have an understanding partner or understanding members in the family, like if parents, other members in the family, it's important. Their support is important.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So did you want to become a mountaineer since you were a child?
As a child, I grew up in various places. My father was in the army, so he used to get transferred. Then he got transferred to Darjeeling and he liked that place. So then he took premature retirement, decided to settle there. And then that was where I used to see Kanchenjunga, you know. And then there's HMI, the Himalayan Mountaineering Institute, where I used to see the trainees taking training there and doing rock climbing. And also, I used to get very excited and, wow, this is fun. I would like to do that. But as a child, I was never really sure what I want to do. You know, sometimes I am thinking I want to do this, then that. And sometimes I used to read a lot of books on the crime. Then I want to be a lawyer. Then I think, no, I want to be a detective. Then I I'll just be a vagabond rogue.
Like most of us.
Yes.
Yeah, like most of us during our college days, school days or college days, that we have so many ambitions in mind, isn't it?
Yeah, so that time, you know, like then I thought, okay, fine, whatever it is, I would like a job which makes me travel different places, meet different people, you know, all that. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to be a mountaineer, you know, but that was also a part of it, part of my dreams. Later on, it just turned out like that. Yeah. It was destiny. Mm-hmm. So currently I'm overseeing, you know, there's an institute coming up in Uttarakhand in a place called Munshi.
Yeah.
Pithoragarh. It's called Pandit Nayan Singh Survey Mountaineering Training Institute. So it's going to give training to the youngsters in mountaineering. So I'm helping the government set it up, you know, that institute. And we have various courses which are going to be offered very soon. Like we have skiing and mountaineering and all that, which is nice.
So that is another challenge for you, but I'm sure you will be able to see it through.
Yeah.
When you have reached Antarctica, then I don't think anything is impossible for you.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So coming back to your childhood days, you grew up in Darjeeling and you are an alumna of Loreto Convent and St. Joseph's College of Darjeeling. Tell us about your earlier days there. You know, what do you remember the most about the place? Any favorite joints?
Yeah. Darjeeling, growing up in Darjeeling, like, you know, you're also from Darjeeling, so you know what the favorite places are. You know, first of all, just seeing Kanchenjunga is very inspiring. Everywhere you go, there's a beauty about it, that place, you know, because of Kanchenjunga. And then there's Chaurasta, of course. Sit there and just watch people. That is
that. The favorite.
Whenever I go back, I want to just sit in the Chaurasta and watch people. You know, it's like so much fun. Yeah,
that's the favorite.
Yeah, favorite, like all kinds of people. And I think it's like lots, it's a Darjeeling thing because lots of people do go. Even if they don't have work, they will take one round of Chaurasta or just pass that, you know, and then you just sit there. And if you're lucky to get a place to sit and then just watch, and you know, like that is fun. And then,
correct. Yeah. But that place, you know, Chaurasta, it has its own. Apart from having its own charm, you know, you get to learn so many things from there just by talking to your, to the other person who's sitting next to you, or somebody who's just passing by, you know, and you get to see so many known faces, you know, whom you had not been in touch with, especially if you are living outside Darjeeling.
Yeah, I know. You just,
so the best place. Yeah.
You just bump into people that you know. That's what, even if you're Chaurasta or anywhere else. Yeah. Bump into the same person
same person.
You know.
Yeah.
Then you know, when you meet a person that you know, and then here, like, you just say hi and bye in cities. But there, you know, you just stand and you talk and how is their life and, you know, la, 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 what's going on and all. They have all the time, and then you move on, and then you bump into another person. So it's like, it's just quite nice, you know, because here I miss that. You know, like meeting people that I know. Although I know...
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Yeah, but just coming to the next question, what do you miss about Darjeeling?
Yeah.
Or do you miss Darjeeling?
I also miss, like, this is the Diwali season, so Deosire, Bailini, even we used to play, like sing, dance, and then, you know, hoping for some, you know, money. That time we never used to have pocket, you know, money, so... That was, and then, you know, like,
So that was the best time, isn't it?
Factor, you know, just you practice with your friends, you get close to them, you laugh and you talk, and then you learn a little dancing, you learn a little singing, you know, you're croaking or whatever, people will accept it or not. But, you know, it's all lots of fun. And then you have people coming over to your place till Purnima, it carries on, till Purnima.
So that is, so that is one thing that you miss about
best memory.
Especially during the festival, you know, during
Festival and the people, and Diwali. Everybody, you know, wearing new clothes.
Exactly. And going around. I know. And it's very nice, you know, that feeling is really nice. It takes you back to those childhood days, you know, where fun-free days. carefree days.
Yeah, and then it used to be so, like, you know, we never used to get clothes all the time in the year.
Exactly.
So this time, festival season, you look forward and you get some new clothes and all and good, the good food.
Good food, obviously.
And then going to people's places and eating celery and, you know.
Kasiga masu.
Yeah, all that. That is funny. Yeah. Really miss. Mm-hmm. I keep on like to go back to Darjeeling. And
is it? So has since you are so much attached to Darjeeling, and plus in almost all your interviews, whether it be national or international interviews, I mean, in international media that they have given the interviews, you have always spoken about Darjeeling.
But you see, the only thing is that I feel a little sad about is that neither the government of Darjeeling nor the government of West Bengal or anybody ever recognized me, like, you know, or felicitated me or honored me. It's not that I need all that. See, the government of India has given me the highest award, the Tenzing Norgay National Adventure Award of India, you know, for a person who does adventure. Okay. And I've been recognized in various places and lots of all these awards. But, you know, it's not the award, or it's just that you feel hurt that, you know, you did, you grew up there and you're so close, and then it was just they ignored you after all the treatment. You expected something. Mm-hmm. At least I expected something from there.
From a place where you grew up.
Yeah,
and
so close
where
to
you
my
have
heart.
Fond memories.
Yeah, so close to my heart. Mm-hmm. So that was, but that doesn't matter now. It's, you know, you still have friends, and then you just move on in life. And then, of course, where I grew up in Harshing, Hatta, and Lebong, those people, the Samaj, they had called me once and felicitated me. So that's all right. I mean, I had my challenges, my achievements, and my fun. I think it's important to have fun.
But I'm sure, Reena, maybe, you know, in future, Darjeeling will recognize you in some way or the
it's
other.
It's okay. Yeah, if it does, it's okay. If it doesn't, also, it's okay. I'm not attached, you know. But somewhere along, it just pokes me, this thing.
Because it's very close to you.
Yeah.
Close to your heart.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that is there.
So what is your mantra in life and your message to aspiring mountaineers?
My mantra in life is, like, you must have heard that before so many times, that do what your heart desires. Know yourself. Knowing yourself is important, you know. And how do you come to know yourself? You read a lot of books, meet a lot of people, see what are the various offerings that you have, you know, what you can get into. And then do what really touches your heart and which you feel close to. And another thing is that, you know, nowadays I feel that people are just doing expecting careers because it is there, it's an option, you know. So even similarly for mountaineering also, lots of people are doing just for the sake of breaking records and all, you know. So if you're doing something which you're passionate about, then, you know, this breaking records is not the aim. It just happens on its own. You know, this, what do you call
this? It just becomes a part of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, that. And another thing is that people are not taking care of the environment. Just because it is free, you know, you just waste light. If you're in a hotel, you're paying for the hotel, obviously. So then you're using the light all the time. You're not switching off the lights in the bathroom and all. Just because, okay, you've already paid. That's not the point, you know. It's not that you've paid for it. It's not that it's free. But it's, as a citizen of this earth, you have to think about you're wasting light. It's your social responsibility. Right. You can't just waste the resources of the earth like that. Food, wasting light, wasting water, throwing trash around. And, you know, like, so many things, you know, throwing food in the plastic bags, and the cows come and eat the plastic, you know, and the food also. Because obviously they don't have hands. They can't just remove the rotis from there.
Correct.
So that's also the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, all these things need to be taken care of.
Yeah, so the people should, you know, this has to come. Pause. Some people are calling me a chief.
Well, this has really been an interesting and a learning experience for me. And I'm sure our listeners must have enjoyed this conversation as well. This is your podcast. And thank you for listening to Inspiring Millions with Anjana. We'll be back with another inspiring and extraordinary story of a woman, a solo traveler from Kalimpong, who traversed the length and breadth of the country on her bike. Till then, stay happy and stay healthy. Thank you.